The primary purpose of the ADRC is to provide customers with unbiased information about services that will meet their needs. This includes sharing information with customers about all agencies that provide needed services. The ADRC does not endorse or recommend any specific agency or service provider, including those that have chosen to sponsor or participate in an interview for this podcast. Welcome to the Journey Ahead podcast, Aging Well in the Chippewa Valley. I'm Tom from Volume 1, which presents this podcast in partnership with the Aging and Disability Resource Center of Eau Claire County, with support from our sponsors, Grace Home Respiratory, and All-Star Elevator and Mobility Solutions. Here's your host, Lisa Wells.
I'm Lisa Wells, Dementia Care Specialist with the Aging and Disability Resource Center of Eau Claire County, and you're listening to a podcast on aging well in the Chippewa Valley. The goal of the podcast is to provide education about aging well, living with dementia, and staying active and healthy in the community. So thank you for joining us. Today our discussion is on emergency preparedness. If something bad happens, do you know what to do? A disaster or emergency that can directly affect your daily life can happen at any time, sometimes without warning. Freezing cold temperatures, tornadoes, floods, fires, and other emergencies mean that everyone should have a plan in place. But if you're 50 or older or have a disability, there are some extra things to pay attention to. Thankfully, there are things you can do to be prepared, to respond safely, and help speed your recovery. So emergency preparedness is a really big topic. Here to discuss how to plan is Joe Kelscher, Public Health Specialist at the Eau Claire County City Health Department. So thank you, Joe, for joining us today on the Journey Ahead podcast.
You are very welcome. It's a pleasure to be here.
So can you, first, let's just talk a little bit about, you know, what is your role with the City County Health Department?
Yeah, so I am serving as the public health specialist focused on emergency preparedness. And part of that role is essentially to implement the guidance that we get from CDC in the state at a local level and contextualize it for our local needs and our assets. And this kind of all stems from the 9/11 attacks that occurred. And following that disaster, we had CDC roll out what's called now the Public Health Emergency Preparedness Program. And so that essentially each state is required to meet certain objectives and they follow these guidance. And because Wisconsin is a home rule state, we the responsibility to execute those initiatives are held at the local level. So each county, each 72 counties, works with the state to implement those things. And I'm the point person for Eau Claire County to implement that.
So that's really good to know that we have that in place in all 72 counties. That's that's makes me feel good.
and tribal nations as well.
Yes. So when we're talking about emergency preparedness, that like I mentioned, it could be a lot. You know, why is it important for everyone to plan? You know, when I think about planning, you know, we plan for weddings, we plan for birthdays and retirement and vacations, and we make all these plans. But we don't really tend to make a plan for an emergency. So why, you know, why is it important for everyone to have one?
Yeah, so I think that's kind of a natural instinct to avoid the doom and gloom mentality and kind of people, I think, myself included, you know, you get caught up in the day and you are focused on the here and now and you want to focus on the positives and you want to focus on the future, but the pleasant things in the future.
Right.
It's not really fun to think about the what ifs that are negative. And so, I think that's part of the challenge that we have. And I think the goal of one of the goals that I have today is to really instill a sense of comfort in talking about these conversations because they can happen and they do happen. We know that they're happening at increased frequencies, both natural and human caused disasters. So I think it's a part of our reality and, you know, doing so in a way that hopefully eases some anxiety or tension around that topic with some tools and techniques, I think is a really strong way to put yourself in a positive and effective situation if these disasters do happen.
Yeah, and then it can really ease any anxiety that you might feel about something, right? You know, just having that plan in place. So when we think about, It can be especially hard, harder if maybe you're socially isolated, you're alone, maybe you have some mobility issues, you have some type of a disability, or you're getting older. And so we really need to pay attention to that. So, how can older adults and people living with disabilities, what are some things that they can do?
Yeah. So across the board, I think what we strive to focus on and the techniques that we look at for older individuals, people with disabilities or the average citizen as well. Mm-hmm. So I think all folks should have a plan, should build a kit and have some mechanism to stay informed. It's kind of like a mm-hmm. blanket. Mm-hmm. And those things are effective, mm-hmm. but I think they also miss the point of, you know, focusing on the individual and the human mm-hmm. needs that we have. And so I think for the aging population, we know that as we age, we're more likely to develop a disability and have more needs mm-hmm. in a disaster. And so I think it's important to recognize those needs, the threats that are likely to impact those needs mm-hmm. or disrupt them, mm-hmm. and to do so in a way that secures your safety and health.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when I think about a couple of things that come to my mind. You know, if you have a mobility issue, you have a hard time, maybe you're in a wheelchair, you know, and there's a fire. You know, how do you have a plan on how you're going to get out? Or if there's a tornado and you need to go downstairs. You know, I think about somebody who was on oxygen, and if the electricity goes out, you know, do you have a plan for, right? Those are things that people right. need to think about.
Right, exactly. And so, you know, it's one of those things where, I guess, to recognize that not every person is going to respond the same way mm-hmm. and the same with their needs. And so it's really important to have these conversations with your loved ones, people, your support network, so that they can not just hold you accountable, but just to be there for you mm-hmm. and to help kind of move this process along. So I think, again, as like a natural tendency in human nature, is to maybe be in almost denial at times mm-hmm. of the needs that we do have. And it's important to plan for the worst mm-hmm. because, the alternative is a lot more challenging.
Yes. And so you mentioned, you know, even maybe sitting down with your family and having some conversation mm-hmm. And, you know, really talking about the what ifs mm-hmm. and, you know, what if this happens? What if this happens? How are we going to handle that? How are you going to handle that, Mom? What are you going to do? Who are you going to call first? So, you know, maybe sitting down with the family to do that. And I encourage, you know, when I'm working with families, I encourage, you know, sit down, have a family meeting. You know, the holidays are, you know, we think about the holidays, we want it to be all grand and everything, but maybe that might be a good time when the whole family's together to sit down and talk about that plan. Or maybe, after a birthday party. I mean, I don't know, just something where everybody's together and mm-hmm. you can have that conversation about that plan. Because sometimes, you know, it's hard to think okay, what are my steps? Yeah. What am I going to do? So that leads me to what would be our first step in, you know, getting that plan in place.
Yeah.
What does that look like?
And I guess if you don't mind, before I get to that first mm-hmm. step, I would just like to add to what you said there, because I think that you brought up some great points. And I think it's interesting to think about, you know, as kids, you know, when we grow up in school, we drill on fire, mm-hmm, tornado drills mm-hmm. all the time, and it becomes second nature. And then I think as we are adults, we kind of just don't do that. It mm-hmm. falls off the wayside. And I think it's a part of normalizing that topic is really important, because even as adults, those things can still happen. You know, mm-hmm. the things that we don't want to happen can still happen.
Right,
so
right.
I think that's part of this effort is to, you know, when you're thinking about having these conversations with your friends, family, neighbors, support network, that could look like a lot of different things, but mm-hmm. to try to normalize that, and to I think that really is a really nice step to make it. So it's less anxiety around mm-hmm, it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we can talk more about the steps of it too, if you'd like.
Yeah, I think that would be, you know, like if I'm
you know, thinking about, okay, I'm hearing this podcast. Okay, I don't have a plan. What should I do? Yeah. What should I do first?
Yeah. So the first step is to really assess your risks and needs that are associated with those risks. But first and foremost is assessing the risk. And one of the, you know, best ways that you can do that is to, you can look up our emergency management website has a link to local hazards. Mm-hmm. And then it lists information based on those local hazards, which I think is a really great resource for folks to kind of acquaint themselves to what are common disasters that have occurred in our area.
Can you share that resource? What is that?
Yeah. So it's, I have the short link here, but mm-hmm. If you Google Eau Claire County Emergency Management Local Hazards, it should pop up
a little bit easier that way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We also know that, so that's one list. Part of my role within this preparedness realm is to work with partners to identify threats through hazard vulnerability assessment. And you can think of that as, you know, through that we do that annually. And one mm-hmm. of the things that comes up, obviously, is like biological disease outbreaks, which mm-hmm. we experienced during COVID.
Right.
So those are other threats that aren't necessarily in that list that we see at the county level, mm-hmm. But they are very much part of it. And, mm-hmm. You know, there's cyber attacks, misinformation. I think those are also things mm-hmm. that we recognize as
absolutely.
Consideration.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But so after you kind of acquaint yourself to the risks in your local area, I think the next step is then to assess your needs. And this is all kind of built into step one, I would mm-hmm. say, out of mm-hmm. a three-part step series. So step one, again, is assessing the risks and needs and ways to, there's tools that I can share with you if you mm-hmm. want to, mm-hmm. the folks can kind of little checklist to walk through.
Checklists are good.
Yeah.
I'm a checklist kind of person. So yeah,
sure.
That would be good.
Myself included.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's easy to miss things, especially mm-hmm. in the heat of a moment.
So right. Right.
This, when you're not in a high stress situation is great. But things like needs that you might have are, you know, conditions or dietary requirements or certain medications that, you know, if you have disruptions, like how are you going to get those? Or
Medications is a big one. Yeah. How are you going to get those? Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Having a plan for mobility or transportation needs. If you have a pet or service animal, what is mm-hmm. your plan mm-hmm. for caring for that? Or potentially, you know, if you can't evacuate, or you just can't care for that animal, maybe having someone from your support network have an agreement to mm-hmm. take care of that animal during mm-hmm. that time. There's also communication strategies that you want to make sure that you're thinking about. Mm-hmm. And if you have like electrically dependent medical equipment, mm-hmm. there's a whole nother set of things that you should make sure to do, including like, you know, having backup power and, mm-hmm. and consulting with the power companies to make sure that they're aware of, your medical dependency on that or electricity.
So you can let them know.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep,
good.
They have a survey, an opt-in mm-hmm. survey to indicate that that is a need that you have. You can also reach out to our department as well to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's something that we look at, and there's all sorts of other things. But you know, even as something as simple as a will, you know, like
things yeah.
like that mm-hmm. are good to do in advance and. Are considered a need.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, having this checklist,
yeah.
and so that checklist, is there like a resource online, or is there a paper copy, or is there somehow somebody could get a hold of a checklist that would, you know, mm-hmm. like you mentioned, assessing the risk, making sure, you know, if they've got medical needs, pet needs, you know, all those different things. Is there like someplace somebody...
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
One. I can send you some resources after for sure. But for right now, I mean, a really great resource and is pretty simple, straightforward is to go to ready.gov/older-adults.
Okay, good.
And right yep. in there, you'll see a link. One of the first links in there is Take Control in 1, 2, 3, and
okay.
kind of over. Provides an overview of what I'll be part of what I'll be talking about today.
Okay, so, that's really good. Could you repeat that?
Yeah, so it's Take Control in 1, 2, 3.
Okay.
And it's this whole tool was developed following last month's, which is we're in October right now, so September was National Preparedness Month, and the theme for this year was on older adults and preparedness, and so they designed this tool to support that.
So this is a new tool.
Correct.
Oh, that's great. So that's really good for people to know. Yeah. Absolutely. Good. All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back and talk a little bit more about resources out there, where can people go for questions, and hear a little bit more from Joe. So we'll be right back.
We'll get back to the podcast in a minute, but first I want to tell you about one of our sponsors, Grace Home Respiratory. We're excited to have their support for the podcast because just like us, they're locally owned and operated. If you or someone you care about needs medical equipment or supplies, wheelchairs, walkers, hospital beds, portable oxygen concentrators, even CPAPs and BiPAPs, Grace Home Respiratory is right there to help. They're committed to helping you live a life of independence. They realize that shopping for the specialty medical products you need can be a challenge, which is why being locally owned and operated is key. They do everything in-house from their location right in Altoona. So if you have a question about billing or anything else, you know you'll be talking to someone from just down the road. Find out more about Grace Home Respiratory online at ghr-ec.com, or you can call them toll-free at 877-230-1622. Now, back to the podcast.
So we're back with Joe from the public health. He's a public health specialist at the Eau Claire City County Health Department, and we're talking about emergency preparedness, especially as we age or living with some type of a disability. And so, you know, I was thinking a little bit about, you know, if somebody had to evacuate, leave their home, you know, having something available, having a kit. You know, my husband and I, we actually have a suitcase, we have clothes, we have some winter clothes, we have some summer clothes. You know, so if we had to leave in a split moment, we would have that. We also have, you know, all of our important documents. You know, we have it in a safe, but we would have to, you know, maybe put it in something that's waterproof, you know, that would be able to go with us. So can you talk a little bit about some of those things that could be helpful for people to prepare for, to have on hand, and even like, you know, having water, having some canned goods, you know, some of those types of things.
Yeah, yeah, would be happy to. So yeah, Lisa, that kind of really speaks to number two in this plan of making a plan. So after you assess your risks and needs, then looking at formalizing a plan, and that can be very basic and it can be more detailed. Mm-hmm. But I think one of the critical components of that plan making process is to build a kit to support what you would need during that time. And so, you know, we know that disasters can strike with little to no warning. And so it's really important to have a plan and to be prepared for a sudden emergency like an evacuation. In Wisconsin, the likelihood of that happening is quite low, I would say, but it's very much still there. Mm-hmm. It can happen anywhere. So I think what you mentioned is fantastic, and I commend you on that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, so part of that, you know, speaking to the build a kit part, having food and water supply for at least 3 days is what they recommend. And what we recommend, and also having any significant family photos or mementos, not an excessive amount because we want to be portable, anything that is small enough to carry with you in a bag, flashlights, things like a mask, local maps, phone, charger, medications, and a complete medication list is important. And you mentioned important documents. So that's another huge thing. So copies of your important documents in a sealed waterproof bag that can be portable is a fantastic idea. Things like a will or homeowner renter's insurance or car insurance, your ID, those things are things that you will likely be asked about during an emergency if your car or home gets destroyed. So having those will make your life easier in that situation. So I think that's one thing that I think, yeah, you covered it really well. There's another checklist that I can share with you. There's also a checklist in this. There's tons of checklists.
Okay.
One of them is in this.
Yeah, and I think, you know, for me, I don't know about anybody else, but there's it can be overwhelming. So like one or two checklists or one or two websites is what's good for me, you know, like what is, you know, what is the go-to one? And you mentioned this new one that's out. Is there another one that you would recommend or?
Yeah. So there's, I would recommend this one. And then I would say that ready.gov, they have actually a whole page on building a kit.
Okay, good.
And so there's even more resources in there outside of this tool that is within the ready.gov. So if you go to ready.gov, and you'll see a selection for build a kit, and then there are a plethora of resources related to that.
Okay. Oh, gosh, that's such good things to know. And I just realized that, gosh, I got to add a couple of things to my kit. So this is good conversation. This is great.
Yeah.
So, you know, Joe, I know that you're also part of the Public Health Emergency Preparedness Program, which we have here in Eau Claire County, and just so fortunate to know that there is a program like this that, you know, this committee is working behind the scenes. You know, we don't even realize all the things that you have to take care of and have to prepare for. And so that brings me a little bit of comfort knowing that, that we have folks out there looking out for us. Can you maybe share a little bit more about what all you do in this committee and maybe making us feel a little more at ease about things, if you will?
Sure. Yeah. So we are fortunate to have an established and long-standing FEP committee. So in the Eau Claire area, we have, it's called FEP, but I'm sorry, I used too many acronyms.
I know. We do that. Yep.
But that stands for Public Health Emergency Preparedness. And there's a committee that involves a variety of stakeholders, including our local hospitals, our K-12 schools, our emergency management, our universities, ADRC, and so many more. There's nonprofits. There's we're looking to expand into additional private sector stakeholders because we know that those folks are also a key in responding effectively. So there, I'm probably missing a few, and I apologize for anyone listening to this that I might have missed. But we are really fortunate, and I think I just want to emphasize that my role is not to really drive this work, but it's to really bring in that shared expertise into a way that supports our community.
Yes.
And so that's more or less what I do. Another part of that is maybe just to help your listeners to understand that, you know, my role specifically is not necessarily what you think of in an emergency. So I'm not the first responders that are responding to a scene. It can happen that way, but likely not. It is way more on the back end and kind of behind the scenes work, where we're working together with partners, making sure that we establish and strengthen community partnerships, so that in a disaster we're not meeting for the first time and we kind of have some set plans in place. We work with communities partners specifically who are we know are working with community members who are at increased risk. And so that's also a huge part to kind of focus on a whole community approach in recovery and response and preparedness. And some of the types of disasters we already mentioned, and really you can think of it in any disaster that affects the public's overall health. So COVID-19 or extreme heat or cold, flooding, tornadoes, wildfires, power outages, winter storms, cyber attacks, etc. So there's a plethora of different threats that we try to make sure that we have a plan for. And, there's a ton of resources that we work with regionally, statewide, nationally. So it's really exciting to be a part of this team.
I want to take a moment to talk about one of our sponsors, All-Star Elevator and Mobility Solutions. Mobility challenges don't have to mean leaving the home that you love. All-Star Elevator and Mobility Solutions specializes in residential and commercial elevators, stairlifts, scooters, and more. The All-Star team offers a free home assessment, and they can help you find the products you need to get around your home and the rest of the world safely and effectively. For example, they have more than 100 scooters in stock, so you'll be sure to find one that meets your needs. You'll find All-Star right here in the Chippewa Valley on Halley Road in Chippewa Falls. And they've got locations in Hudson and La Crosse, too. Learn more by calling All-Star at 715-598-7511 or by visiting allstarmobilityllc.com or allstarelevatorllc.com. Now, back to the podcast.
Each of us have to have a plan.
Correct.
Right? Each and every person, regardless of age, needs to have some type of a plan ready to go. And you mentioned some great websites for us. How about, are there any apps or anything that we could maybe consider putting on our phone? You know, I'm kind of, I see you looking at your phone here.
Yeah, I'm actually looking real quick, but. Yeah. So there are a couple that I know offhand, and I'm sure I'll probably think of others afterwards. But some of the apps that I know are out there, Red Cross just updated. They had a past app, and now they have a new app, and I'm totally blanking on the name of it. But I will share that with you, and maybe we can include that later. But the there's more or less, outside of apps, I'll kind of go back to apps right now. But in the theme of applications, what we want to emphasize is being aware and having mechanisms to stay informed in a disaster. And that is honestly one of the most important things that you can do, because we know that communication is huge. It spans across any disaster, any situation, really. And so being able to stay informed is a huge step forward that you can take to make sure you have multiple and redundant mechanisms to receive emergency communication. And that is what we encourage everyone to do. And one of the examples is to think about like the siren that we see in our community. That siren is a really great way to get a, hey, there's something up going on, and for you to take action. However, that siren is not intended really to be used for indoor like to reach people indoor or wake you up. And so it's important to have something else to supplement that if you're not outside, for example. And we know that sometimes it does wake you up.
Because it's pretty loud.
But it, you know, not everybody, especially folks who might have hearing, hard of hearing, that is not something that we need to be aware of. So other mechanisms that you can consider including in your response plan to make their redundant communications possible is weather radios, or signing up for phone alert systems. The National Weather Service is a really outstanding resource, especially for weather-related emergencies. Those are just a handful that I would recommend.
I know I've got the weather one, so I love it. You know, and if there's, you know, I get an alert on my phone, I get a text. I really like that. That makes me feel pretty good.
Definitely. And beyond like beyond those, I mean, even in your day to day. So, I mean, I use my parents for example. So when you're traveling, I think it's also really important to consider what your needs or threats are in those situations, and to make sure you also build in a way for you to stay informed of those disasters and let your support network know if anything comes about. And I bring in my parents because they just recently went out west and they had to kind of navigate through some wildfires that were occurring. And so it was, I think it just, you know, one of those things where you don't necessarily think of when you're on a vacation.
Right. You don't think about that at all on vacation.
But yeah. Just another thing to, I think, mention is because, like there's apps or websites that are available for wildfires, for example, that I just recently learned about because it's something that can happen in Wisconsin and has. And so like something similar is like the National Fire News, which is a resource from the National Interagency on Fire Center, and the Smoke and Fire Map. There's a handful of websites that I think you can use to pretty much identify and see any fires that are occurring in the U.S. And that's just a simple way that my parents use that to help them kind of assure themselves that they are in a safe place and they can camp out here. They were experiencing smoke, so they had another app to identify, you know, the air quality in the air. And so, so things like that, I think, puts people at ease.
Yes, and this point, you know, we've certainly had issues with air quality, haven't we?
We sure have. Yep.
So if somebody doesn't have access to the internet or have a smartphone, of course, is there a resource where they could call and maybe get this information or get that checklist or, you know, to help them get prepared? Because we know a lot of folks don't always have that access, or maybe live in rural areas where they just don't have the broadband. So is there a phone number that people can call?
Yeah, there are a number of phone numbers and resources out there. I think one that I would recommend off the bat would be the Wisconsin Council on Physical Disabilities. Mm-hmm. And that I think is applicable in a number of reasons. They have a toolkit and a kind of turnkey documents that you can use. So for example, medical emergency wallet cards. So you can include a lot of key documents in your wallet, for example. And that is a crucial way to just make sure it's always on you.
Right.
And outside of that, there's like a family emergency planning form, medical information and emergency healthcare plan. So these key documents and templates that kind of get you thinking and mm-hmm. make sure you have in writing in case, you know, internet access does go out. So outside of that, there are the National Weather Service, which I mentioned, this Take Control 123, ready.gov in general has a lot of great resources.
But if there's no, is there a phone number?
Oh, yeah, sorry. There's a phone number for our Eau Claire County Emergency Management. That's 24/7. Beyond that, I think for the public to stay informed on issues that are arising and resources that are available, number one would be Great Lakes 211. Mm-hmm. They have you just dial 211, and there'll be someone on the line that can help you.
Oh, good. Yeah.
And identify some resources. Mm-hmm. So that's a huge one. The American Red Cross has a Northwest Wisconsin chapter here that I think is also another resource.
So they could call the Red Cross?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can call myself and our health department.
Okay.
And
the City County Health Department.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And I think phone numbers are important to write down and include on a list. Obviously, your medical provider and your social network that you... key numbers that you don't want to forget, put those on there.
Mm-hmm. And I even think, too, through the Aging and Disability Resource Center, you know, if somebody didn't have access to the internet and they wanted some more information, you know, we could probably print some information, be able to send out, or if they're, you know, going. I really like that checklist you were talking about, Take Control. We could certainly do something like that as well, making sure people have that. So there's some good resources out there. Joe, do you know, is there, so does every county kind of have a plan, or does every county have like that, like what you were mentioning, the public health emergency preparedness? Mm-hmm. So regardless, you're in Eau Claire County, Chippewa County, Menominee, or Dunn County, every county has something like this. So good.
Yep. Yep, we are. There's somebody at each health department working on this for public health specific threats. And then there's also, we work in tandem with a ton of partners. Mm-hmm. And so whether we have the answer, we can connect you with somebody who can better support your needs.
Okay.
So,
all right. Anything else any last minute things that people need to know? We've covered a lot today.
Yeah. I guess another way for if you have questions or would like to kind of stay informed on developments, I guess I would also recommend following, if you haven't already, the Eau Claire Emergency Management Facebook page.
Oh, sure.
And our health department also has the Eau Claire City County Health Department Facebook page as well. We tend to either share or create content that speaks to preparedness. And the National Weather Service 211, which I mentioned. So those are all great numbers to consider as resources for you. The final one that I think is a really great way for you to stay engaged. So if you're seeing this as a topic of interest and you want to become more engaged with this work to help prepare and cultivate a sense of resiliency in these situations for yourself, your family, your community, your neighborhood, I would recommend reaching out to us and join our Eau Claire County Medical Reserve Corps.
Oh, sure.
So that is a national network of volunteer units, and it also was created after 9/11. But it is a national support network. There's over 800 units and 300,000 volunteers. I can kind of go on about that, but the point I'm trying to make is that it is all localized, and The goal of that program is to support local action around preparedness. And our Eau Claire County is fortunate to have a unit here. Mm-hmm. And we our mission is essentially to engage, to pre-select, identify, and train volunteers who can step into a situation and supplement our public health systems and our first responders in a disaster situation. And it can be before, during, or after. Mm-hmm. So help with recovery. That can look like in a number of different ways. And, you know, whether it's the pandemic or mass vaccinations, or it's as simple as doing some community outreach in education, or if you just simply want to learn more about and develop skills like stop the bleed and how mm-hmm, to put on a tourniquet mm-hmm. or right, CPR.
Right. Yep.
This is a network that you can tap into, and it's free. So.
Oh, wow. And great opportunity to give back to the community.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And we're always looking for folks who are mm-hmm. passionate about it or interested and have some skills that they mm-hmm. want to contribute to
sure.
to their community. So, yeah, you can learn more about that by going to the our Eau Claire County City County Health Department website. If you click on more, you'll see a link for the Eau Claire County Medical Reserve Corps. Mm-hmm. I can also just send you a direct link maybe, and or if you just Google the Eau Claire County Medical Reserve Corps, it should pop
that'll come
right
up.
Yeah.
That'll come up.
But okay. that's the place where you can go to connect with us, and mm-hmm. we can go from there.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Joe, for being here and talking about such an important topic that everybody needs to have a plan in place. It's always good to be prepared. When you're in crisis, it's hard to think emotionally and mentally and make good decisions when you're, you know, when there's a crisis, right? Mm-hmm. So making that plan ahead can save a lot of anxiety for a lot of people. So thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
This is Tom from Volume 1. Thanks again to Lisa and to her guest. And thanks to you for joining us for the Journey Ahead podcast, Aging Well in the Chippewa Valley. Volume 1 presents this podcast in partnership with the Aging and Disability Resource Center of Eau Claire County. And it's all made possible by Grace Home Respiratory and All-Star Elevator and Mobility Solutions. Learn more about this and our other podcasts at volume1.org.